The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
You're listening to Making Life Brighter on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel, where we provide you with the latest information in natural healing, consciousness training, and all cutting-edge healing modalities. Featuring experts in their fields, including authors, musicians, and artists, Making Life Brighter will be a forum for healing, inspiring, and uplifting entertainment. Here's your host, Winifred Adams.
Hello, and you're listening to Making Life Brighter. My name is Winifred Adams. I'm your host today, and we have a special guest today, Oz Fritz. He's a recording expert and engineer, and I've had the privilege of working with Oz in a very interesting circumstance around a song I had to record very, very quickly. And Oz came in and not only saved the day, but he was wonderful. And from all the reviews of people that have worked with him, you're going to learn more about this remarkable man. Welcome, Oz. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Winifred. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, this is great. So you just came off of doing something really spectacular, which fits right in with this show. You've been working on a special project with music that deals with sound, healing, art, kind of a mixture of light and sound as it works in with kind of metaphysics, if you will. Is that correct?
Something like that. It was called Exploring the Hidden Music. And so I think they were trying to look at the processes or what the hidden music is all about. What the essence of music is about. And music meaning much broader than just the sound variety, but music meaning like the harmony of visuals and of dance.
And so what did they actually do? I know you mentioned something about the heartbeat as a central piece or something that inspired you. Tell us a little bit about the event.
Well, this is an event that's a vision of a guy named Christopher Janney, who is a graduate of MIT's visual arts department. And he's most well known for putting in lots of outdoor sound installations that combine sound with architecture, trying to like make the environment more musical. And so he had this idea to put on a theatrical version of what he's trying to do. And he enlisted Bill Laswell, who's a friend and collaborator of mine for many years. And him and Bill came up with a music program that was basically improvised, just basically explored music, sort of ambient and rhythmic, combined with Janney has a light synthesizer and a big video screen on the back of the stage, and then he does his visual stuff to the improvised music. And the central piece, it all leads up to a piece called Heartbeat, which is one that he's put on before, and it's unique because it attaches microphones to a dancer, a modern dancer, and they're wireless contact mics that pick up her heartbeat, and it's transduced to an audio pulse, and she dances, her heart changes, and the music kind of has to flow around her heartbeat.
That's amazing. It sounds like a really interesting foray into the next step of what technology and music will combine to be someday. So
exactly.
How does that fit into your philosophy and what you believe? What draws you to that kind of event?
Well, basically, hidden music, it's trying to introduce spaces that aren't common to everyday experience. So that's why it's tied to architecture, because architecture is you know, the structure of spaces. Whenever you walk into a building, your consciousness changes slightly just based on the architecture of the building. It's subtle, but it's there. And when you're creating different music forms, they're also making spaces. Music has a geometry, and it makes, you know, architecture structures and sound, architectural structures and sound. And so the audience can go into these spaces, and then you combine that with the visuals that Jani is doing, and with, there was a very good high-tech light show there as well. It takes the listener on a trip, a voyage of, you know, of consciousness into different, you know, spaces that they're not ordinarily going to get exposed to in everyday life. So it's kind of a look into the unknown.
Well, it seems a bit like with this heartbeat section of the show, where the person is hooked up and the people can kind of hear this pulse throughout and sort of a surround sound, it's almost like they begin to entrain to this performer's heartbeat. Is that right?
Yeah. It's almost trying to make something that's usually implied to be really explicit. In other words, when people are making music, they're connecting to their own heart and to their own feeling of what music is and trying to expose that. And now you have, now instead of that being on the inside, it's been put to the outside. And yes, they all are trying to entrain or create a unit of sound around this person's heartbeat, and she's the guide. And so it's, you know, normally that's, you don't ever see that because you don't see how people are connecting inside, but it's kind of making the implicit explicit.
That's amazing. And what is your exact function in this show? What is it you're doing?
I was the front of house sound mixer. So I took in all the audio and mixed it for the front of house. And it just, you know, had to follow everything. It was all pretty much improvised. There was a structure, but there was no specific form to it until they rehearsed it a few times and came up with one. And it's just making it sound good in that space.
Wow, that sounds like a lot of fun. Now, tell us a little bit about your background. How did you get into this profession, and where did it begin for you?
I began doing live sound in bars up in Western Canada, and somehow being struck with the passion to learn about what I was doing in terms of what is music, what is happening every night with this band playing. You know, it wasn't just a fun lifestyle and entertainment. To me, it was a method of exploring oneself and just exploring life and consciousness. You know, I grew up in the tail end of the 60s, so I had that kind of mentality that music could change the world. And I still feel that, and I'm still driven by that. So in my early years, I would check out a whole bunch of books from the library and just read up on geometry and you know, avant-garde art. I studied the works of John Cage and just all kinds of various influences to give me the approach that I ended up with.
And then you went to New York for a little while, and tell us a little bit about that exciting journey.
Well, I was talked into going to New York on a visit by a lead singer of a band that I worked for. And then when I got there, I just fell in love with it. I was originally from Cleveland, Ohio, and I lived there until I was 9. And something about the memory of living in Cleveland, it just really resonated with New York. So I basically looked for an excuse to move there, and that excuse was to go to recording school. And there was a whole series of coincidences, extraordinary coincidences, because I originally had no intention of becoming a recording engineer, because I'd gone into the studio with a band I mixed for, and it was a really downer of an experience. And I just thought that was how it always was. But then one night after a show, I put on a record called My Life in the Bush of Ghosts, and it totally changed me. It was, to me, similar to when I first heard Revolution No. 9 for the first time by the Beatles. It was just a piece of music that grabbed me and shook me, and I realized you could never do that in a live performance, that there was an art form in doing this and working in the studio. And then it turns out that that song, My Life in the Bush of Ghosts, was co-written by Bill Laswell. And Brian Eno, he had just asked him if he could go to the session, and Brian Eno allowed him in on the session. And Bill Laswell is a guy that years later in New York I would hook up with and basically give me a jump start into the big leagues, as it were.
Mm-hmm. And then you ended up living there for a while and working at, was it the power station?
No, I ended up moving back to New York and starting out the regular route that almost everyone has to do, which is you start out as an intern, then you get to be an assistant engineer, and that's where you really learn the ropes, working with other producers and engineers. And then, you know, when I was an assistant engineer is when I met Bill Laswell. And this was not at the power station, though. It was at a place called Platinum Island, which was competing with the power station. And Bill had worked at the power station and was looking for an alternative, and that's why I ended up there. And interestingly, one record we mixed with for Iggy Pop called Instinct, half of the mixes were done at the power station by Jason Corsaro, and the other half were done at where I worked, Platinum Island, with Robert Musso. I was assisting him on that.
That's fantastic. And then you eventually segued out, and you have a long roster of people you've worked with. Tell us some of the people that you've worked with over the years.
Well, my favorite guy to work with is Tom Waits, of course. I had a, I don't know, 5 or 6 year relationship of working with him pretty steadily on 3 albums, a bunch of one-offs for films, and he produced John Hammond record that did really well. And then from that, I did 3 other records with John Hammond, the blues musician, which I'm really grateful to have done. And through our mutual friend John Wooler, I got to go to Cuba to work with an amazing piano player named Pepecillo Reyes, who most people don't know, but he co-wrote Guantanamera. He was like 75 years old at the time, and he played the piano like B.B. King plays the blues guitar, in that he made love to the piano. I'd never heard anyone play that way before, but he had a really intimate relationship with it.
Well, that's fantastic. Well, we're going to be back in just a minute to hear more of Oz Fritz and all of his musical endeavors, as well as his philosophy on sound and how he records. And I had a great experience recording with him, and you'll hear that story when we come back. For more information about the show, you can go to makinglifebrighter.com. You can find us on Twitter at MLB Radio. And if you want to sign up for archive shows, you can find us on podcast on iTunes. And all of that's on makinglifebrighter.com in the radio tab. We'll be right back with more Oz Fritz.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Making Life Brighter, your health and healing resource. With 20 years of successful healing, medical intuitive Winifred Adams has assisted thousands of people with their health and emotional well-being, including a celebrity clientele. An expert in emotional healing and body system health, Winifred specializes in emotional trauma and hard-to-solve cases. An official guide to John of God, Winifred works with people from all over the world to facilitate optimum health. Visit makinglifebrighter.com for more information and a discount off your first session. Appointments available in person or by Skype. Journey to John of God for healing with your guide, medical intuitive Winifred Adams. Experience healing with the world's most revered transmedium, John of God.
Witness incredible healings, visit the sacred waterfall, and experience the heart-opening wonders of the Casa de Dominacio in Brazil. For more information, visit MakingLifeBrighter.com. Tune in and visit the archived shows to learn of the miraculous healing with John of God. Special offer when you mention you heard it on the Health and Wellness Channel. See the website for details, www.MakingLifeBrighter.com.
Tune in to the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
For 27 years, KidStar has empowered thousands of kids across the country.
And now we have the opportunity to empower children around the world.
KidStar is announcing a new radio show called Voyage Earth.
Voyage Earth will empower kids from across the world.
KidStar has created a Kickstarter campaign just for this new undertaking. By pledging to Kickstarter, you pledge for a future of empowered people to come.
My name is Lindsay Marie from Bookworms. I want to thank you for being a backer of our Kickstarter.
Kidstar, we empower kids.
We're making it easier to listen to the Voice America Talk Radio Network live wherever you go on iPhone, BlackBerry, or Android. Download it from the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Step into a healthier you. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome back to Making Life Brighter with Winifred Adams on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel, the preferred choice for conscious education and entertainment. For more information, please visit us at MakingLifeBrighter.com. If you have questions or comments, please email us at radio@MakingLifeBrighter.com. That's radio@MakingLifeBrighter.com. And now back to the show with your host, Winifred Adams.
And we're back. This is Winifred Adams with Making Life Brighter Radio, and today we're talking with Oz Fritz. He's a recording engineer extraordinaire and a producer. Oz and I met initially because I had a very interesting experience with a deadline on it. And a few years ago, I was making a new EP, and I was working with a producer in LA, but much to my chagrin, that producer walked off with my music at the last minute and everything I needed to go to Europe a few days later to record and create a video I was about to make. So I had no song after working for a while, and I had nothing left, and we had 3 days just about to create the song all over again from scratch so I could go and make the video. And Oz saved the day. Thankfully, our mutual friend John Wooler helped us figure that out, and Oz flew down to L.A. and walked into a session that was literally fly by the seat of your pants, and we're going to make this song, and we're going to do it in one day and grab everybody together and add things onto it afterwards and hope that it works, and hope that it works for the video, and by God, it did. Thank you.
Yeah, it worked beautifully. It was a great song.
It was fantastic, and he made it sound so sweet and ethereal, and it just, he caught the whole mood of it, which was really special to me because the video was so important and took so much time to go into, and you know what? I haven't even officially released that yet, and it's sitting incubating in its own time, but it's a song that lasts with you, so I'm getting ready to do that soon into the new year here, and I'm excited
all
for
right.
that. Yeah, so thank you so much.
You're very welcome.
That was really, really neat. And you know, what strikes me is there's a fellow, Bill Moriarty, that apprenticed you, and he writes about you, actually. And the one thing he says about you, Oz, is that he's learned a lot from working with you, but what strikes him the most is your state of being in the studio, and I can attest to that. He says that, you know, you're intense and you're always paying attention, and you're also unexpectedly very funny, and I agree, you have a really good dry sense of humor, but you're present and awake. And what I noticed in that day in working with you is that there was a lot of tension to get this right, because we had one shot at it, and boy, you were like the even keel through the storm and right on top of it the whole time without even blinking without even fluttering, no matter what. And it wasn't necessarily a difficult session, but it was a long day, really. And here you came down out of the blue and you did this. But, you know, just what Bill was saying about you is very true. And I think that it says something about how you approach the world as well as music. So tell us a little bit about how you see a session and you see music when you step into it with an artist.
Well, I try to find out about the artist. And so when I'm, you know, in our situation, it was a lot different, as you've described. It was very, last minute. So we didn't, our musical relationship, you and I kind of developed more along the way and after the fact. Whereas if I know I'm working with someone ahead of time, I'll reach out beforehand and just start a relationship with them to get to know them, what their musical influences are, what they're looking for, and all this. I wrote a manifesto that describes how I approach sound, and my main aim is the effective interpretation of the artist's vision. And so I try to find out from them, because they don't always know what their vision is. I mean, a lot of it, you know, creative people work very intuitively. And so I'll start a dialogue and try to find out what they're going for. And then, I'll bring all my expertise and knowledge to it. But it's really not about trying to stamp an Oz Fritz sound on something. It's about trying to make sure the artist has like a clear technological conduit, because I'm in charge of the studio technology. So to try to make that as transparent as possible to the artist so that they can, you know, concentrate purely on the creativity of the moment and what they're trying to achieve.
Well, since you talked in the last segment about how you're influenced by the building itself and what you walk into and your space and everything else, how do you conduct a session, generally speaking, if you know someone in advance? How does that affect, do you do something in particular to make an ambiance, or is there a special place you work, or how does it go for you?
Yes, that's a good question. The space of the recording studio, you want to be as high as an aesthetic as possible. I mean, before all that, though, you have to determine, you know, if I'm producing a new artist, just all the basics of what are we going to record, what's going to be the basic beginning combo, et cetera, what studio are we going to use. And, because you want to go, obviously there are certain audio tools that are necessary and certain acoustics. So anyway, then once all that is established, then it'll vary from project to project how you set up the aesthetics of the space, because that is very important. I remember we did a session with Tom Waits when he was producing John Hammond, and the studio sounded great. It was Sandy Perlman's studio up in San Rafael, and the studio sounded great, but it was kind of a mess and kind of really disheveled and all that. And even though the sound was right, they moved it to another venue simply because the aesthetic wasn't right.
Interesting. Wow. Of all the memorable experiences you've had, do you have one that you can share with us that was really sort of a turning point for you, that was, you know, a session?
Memorable.
A session that just said, that stood out in your mind and said, wow, this session's changed my approach, it's changed my life, something of that nature.
There's like a lot to choose from. It's hard to choose from.
That's a good thing, Oz.
But I can remember watching my mentor, my mixing mentor, his name is Jason Corsaro. He was mixing a Ginger Baker drum solo off an album called Middle Passage. And he was just a true artist at the SSL mixing it. It's a piece that is the only other similar kind of drum, electronic drum piece like John Bonham's Moby Dick. But the way he was doing the board, I mean, Ginger played the drums, but he made it into a piece of music by what he did with the board.
And who are your idols? Who do you look at and go, wow, that's, you know, or do you pull it from inspiration straight up?
I could. I have many different ones. A lot of them aren't always musicians. But I would say, as far as musicians, John Cage, Brian Eno is a big influence. Of course, Bill Laswell and Tom Waits are big influences. And both of them are masters in their own way, in completely different ways, almost opposite ways. And then I'm into people like James Joyce influences my approach to sound, and occultists like Gurdjieff and Aleister Crowley and people like that, because a lot of it, I mean, behind the scenes, when you're trying to record some music, you're trying to invoke a musical spirit of some kind. So a lot of, practices that go into making a holy space and creating a sacred space can be done in a control room and can inspire the divine creative spirit to start to flow through. Something you mentioned to me on the break about how a lot of the people listening to this are concerned with healing, and that's one of the prime purposes of music that I've worked with, is it serves to heal the people that listen to it in a way, or it's a calming influence. A memorable moment was I've been to West Africa a lot and done a lot of field recording there, and we were in a part of Mali called Ségou, which is used to be the capital of the empire back in the, several hundred years ago. And there were these drummers playing these old rhythms, and by the end of it, one of the drummers from the city, a young kid, hadn't seen this before, and everyone was kind of put into a trance by this music, but he kept running around saying this phrase in Abamana, which translated as "music is medicine, music is medicine." I mean, that's...
Isn't it?
And,
wow.
Yeah.
Music is medicine. What's so cool is we don't need to know the language it's in. We can feel it.
Yeah.
It is. And it's kind of like what Bill was saying about you, your state of being. And I think that's perhaps what makes a great producer and even a great engineer and mixing engineer, is someone who brings a state of being that not only enlivens, but sort of equalizes what's supposed to be there. And it's like taking all this energy and somehow distilling it down into something magnificent.
Yes. Well, consciousness is magnetic. So if you can bring in a clear, alert, focus of attention to your session, that's only going to help everything else. Because, like, as you noticed in your, when we work together, there's a lot of, you even mentioned this, a lot of, there is a tension, a particular tension there, which is always there, of just trying to, you're on the spot, you have to create, you're paying for this time, and now is the time, and it has to be now. And if you can emit or, project a more relaxed feeling to it, you can make it seem that that you have a lot more time than there is, almost like you can change that anxiety related to time and slow it down so that it allows the space of creative stuff to happen.
Absolutely. Well, we'll be right back with more Oz Fritz. Thank you for listening. This is Making Life Brighter.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Journey to John of God for healing with your guide, medical intuitive Winifred Adams. Experience healing with the world's most revered transmedium, John of God. Witness incredible healings, visit the sacred waterfall, and experience the heart-opening wonders of the Casa de Dominacio in Brazil. For more information, visit MakingLifeBrighter.com. Tune in and visit the archived shows to learn of the miraculous healing with John of God. Special offer when you mention you heard it on the Health and Wellness Channel.
See the website for details, www.makinglifebrighter.com. Making Life Brighter, your health and healing resource. With 20 years of successful healing, medical intuitive Winifred Adams has assisted thousands of people with their health and emotional well-being, including a celebrity clientele. An expert in emotional healing and body system health, Winifred specializes in emotional trauma and hard-to-solve cases. An official guide to John of God, Winifred works with people from all over the world to facilitate optimum health. Visit MakingLifeBrighter.com for more information and a discount off your first session. Appointments available in person or by Skype.
Have you had a chance to check out Voice America's online magazine and blog, Press Pass? If you love our hosts and shows, check out articles that give an even deeper perspective. Plus topics about health and fitness, movie reviews, philosophy, business tips and tactics, spirituality, positive thought, current events, and even more about your favorite host. It's just a click away at VAPressPass.com. That's VAPressPass.com. VA Press Pass by Voice America. All access, all the time.
Have you become a member yet? Sign up now to become a member of Voice America. It's always free and easy. Plus, you get to take advantage of some great member benefits. Get unlimited access to millions of hours of on-demand content across all of our channels. Keep track of your favorite episodes, shows, and hosts in your own customizable library. Find out what shows you might be interested in based on your favorites. Plus, you get insider access with our newsletter. Membership gives you more. Sign up at voiceamerica.com and click register at the top right.
Find out what's happening on the Voice America Talk Radio Network by keeping up with us on Twitter. You can find us at Voice America TRN.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome back to Making Life Brighter with Winifred Adams on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information, please visit us at MakingLifeBrighter.com. If you have questions, comments, or would like to make an appointment with medical intuitive Winifred Adams, please email us at radio@MakingLifeBrighter.com. That's radio@MakingLifeBrighter.com. Making Life Brighter, the preferred choice for conscious education and entertainment. Now, back to the show with your host, Winifred Adams.
And we're back. This is Winifred Adams with Making Life Brighter Radio. And today we have Oz Fritz, a recording and producing engineer who's worked with the Ramones and Iggy Pop and Tom Waits and all sorts of great artists. So, Oz, we were talking about kind of your foray into music and how it's part of consciousness and changing the world. And you have a particular feeling about sound in general. Tell us a little bit about what it is that drives you to find this particular sound. And you, I think you call it high velocity sound. I don't know where that comes from. So tell me a little bit about that.
High velocity refers to the position and speed of the brain and nervous system of the musicians and producers in the recording studio. Velocity is like a word that means energy that has a particular direction. So what I mean by high velocity is the attempted focusing of finding a direction, which is the music that the artist brings. So it's just kind of a fancy way of saying to really focus the attention and presence on the artist's music. And the sound I'm looking for, I'm just looking, as I said before, it's the effective translation of the artist's vision. And I'm trying to connect with that essential nature of the artist. And now it's not always it's not just the artist, because I see recording as a group effort. I would call the artist, speaking in magical terms, I would call the artist the main invocant. But everyone in the space has some contribution to what is being drawn in musically. And to me, music is sacred. It's the closest I have to practicing religion, and I see music as being alive. I see the songs, the spirit, you know, when it connects, when it's real, when it's working, as being a living, non-human consciousness that can ultimately teach us things, not necessarily verbally, but just through the mood that's brought, that the music engenders, can give us different experiences that we wouldn't have had without the music.
And when you started out versus today, what's the difference in the technology that you use? What's the difference in the sound quality that you find today? I assume it's been different because you started with certain technology and now it's, you know, a whole different ballgame.
The whole technology thing has completely changed, but everything I've said, all the principles behind it are the same. People, I believe, get a little hung up on technology because it doesn't matter. The technology can be incredible, and if you don't have any music, then it's not going to sound musical, whereas there have been some famous recordings that have been done under low-tech circumstances that, because the music was there, it translated. So, yes, it's changed radically since I started. I mean, I was, you know, started in the old analog days where everything was to tape. One of my first sort of terrifying engineering experiences, I was an assistant, but I had to take over and do some 2-inch tape edits of a Ginger Baker drum piece. And that was really, you know, difficult. Nowadays, it would be in Pro Tools, and you would look at the waveform, and it would be a piece of cake. But back then, I felt I was taking my life in my hands by slicing this tape with a razor blade.
It's a little bit like the old filmmaking, isn't it? You cut that.
Yeah, because back then you could wreck the tape, but with Pro Tools, I mean, you have a backup, and you know, the worst you can do is not do it right and have to, you know, do it a different way.
And so now, do you find that the sound is any different? Is there anything that brings more to it today than you had before?
It's different. And that's a hard question because it's better in some ways. And in some ways, it's missing something. A lot of people that I work with are going for a vintage sound. So it's almost like you're using the new technology to get an old sound, but they really actually don't want that vintage sound. They want something that is like that vintage sound, but sounds, you know, modern. Mm-hmm. Because if they were to hear that exact vintage sound, you know, if there's a reason, I mean, there have been major improvements. So they're looking for that feeling of that sound, but, you know, because, you know, not always when there's new technology does it get used wisely. And there have been a lot of recordings that more on the pop rock end, they start to get overcompressed and made too bright, and they start losing musicality for whatever reason, trying to compete.
Everyone makes the volume so high today. It's so high.
Yeah.
So loud.
But I'm kind of the music industry is quite big, and I'm kind of in a side avenue. Like I work with a lot of alternative artists and people who are, you know, I get approached by audiophiles trying to make the best sounding analog recording still. I mean, just, you know, a couple of years ago. So,
Well, that
no,
must
I think
fun.
My trick was, what's that?
I said, that must be fun, though. It kind of takes you back, right?
My trick, which I've told, I had another student this summer, and I told her to find some idealistic reason why you're doing sound, like why, you know, you're using it to try to heal the world or to heal people or whatever. And if you devote yourself to that principle, as opposed to trying to make a name for yourself or whatever, you'll find that just serendipitously you'll get these incredible projects. If you're devoted to music, music kind of reciprocates and understands that, and you get thrown, you know, like the one I just did in New York, these incredible projects your way.
Amen to that. That's for sure. Yeah. It's like all of a sudden the universe says, oh, let's magnetize that. Let's bring that over here. And you do, you get thrown in. I mean, you know, you were talking a little bit about how sound has changed a little bit and your technology has changed, but it's really the essence of what you bring to the table. It's what's in your heart and the energy in the room, I think, whether
exactly.
it's a solo artist or a band or a group or whatever. And
yeah.
how do you see the music industry today? I know that you have sort of the alternative people in general, but what do you see happening today versus, say, 5 or 10 years ago, and where do you see it going?
Well, to me, I mean, just as an outside observer, the music industry seems a little bit lost. Like they've, you know, it's no longer easy for young artists to find backers that will let them develop as artists. It seems whenever, you know, the artists do get signed or whatever, if they don't do something right away, then they're dropped. There's a lot of the development into artists that used to happen in the 50s, 60s, 70s, and even the 80s is not around today because the whole structure of how the companies earn their revenue has changed. And I don't think they've really figured out the internet yet of how to monetize the internet. And, you know, fortunately, besides the main part of the industry, there's all these side areas of it, and so that sort of keeps people like me going. And so I'm able to still do what I do, which is use the recording studio as an experimental laboratory for sound creation, and not really, you know, just sort of observe this hulking behemoth of a music industry, you know, change. It changed how I work because, you know, it used to be that you would work on a project for a few weeks or months at a time, and now the projects are much shorter.
Yeah, there's no big budgets. It's sort of like everything from the movie industry to music and even modeling. You know, you used to have supermodels in the day, and probably where the big budgets were when that was happening. And now, you know, 80s, 90s, people were throwing, you know, lots of money at any given project. And today, there's not only not that, but artists have to pay to play. Artists have to pay to do whatever. In fact, people won't even look at you, whether it's writing books or singing music or anything, unless you have a platform already established. Who are you and
right.
how much have you done? It's not like we believe in you and we're going to build you and help you develop. It's none of that. It's like, well, you already need to be developed. And it's like asking a child to come out of the womb an adult, and then we'll do something with you.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been kind of cynical about the mainstream industry a little bit. I don't think, except for some exceptions, there's always exceptions, but a lot of these people are just, it's a different kind of product to market. It's not that they know what music can do to a person's soul or to the soul of the planet. They have no conception. It's just how to sell X number of units. But yet music is still thriving in many underground areas. And I really support people who have dedicated their lives and who aren't, you know, making a lot of money, but are just doing it for the sake of doing it. And to me, that's if you look at the world situation, which seems kind of dire to me, you know, I think it artists of all kinds and musicians, that they're providing a counterbalance to all the insanity in the world.
Mm-hmm. I think they do. And they also mirror back to us what we are and who we're being in this time frame.
Right.
You know, so Oz, I ask everybody this question. What makes your life brighter?
Talking to, you know, this interview made my life brighter. Talking to people, interacting with people.
Great. Okay, we'll be right back with more Oz Fritz at MakingLifeBrighter.com.
opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Making life brighter, your health and healing resource. With 20 years of successful healing, medical intuitive Winifred Adams has assisted thousands of people with their health and emotional well-being, including a celebrity clientele. An expert in emotional healing and body system health, Winifred specializes in emotional trauma and hard-to-solve cases. An official guide to John of God, Winifred works with people from all over the world to facilitate optimum health. Visit MakingLifeBrighter.com for more information and a discount off your first session. Appointments available in person or by Skype. Journey to John of God for healing with your guide, medical intuitive Winifred Adams. Experience healing with the world's most revered transmedium, John of God. Witness incredible healings, visit the sacred waterfall, and experience the heart-opening wonders of the Casa de Dominacio in Brazil. For more information, visit MakingLifeBrighter.com. Tune in and visit the archived shows to learn of the miraculous healing with John of God. Special offer when you mention you heard it on the Health and Wellness Channel. See the website for details, www.MakingLifeBrighter.com.
Now you can take your favorite Voice America radio program with you anywhere. Sign up for our mobile app if you have an iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry. The Voice America Interactive Radio Player, powered by Aircast, gives you the freedom to listen to any of our programs anywhere, live, and on demand. No registration is required. Listen to your favorite Voice America hosts and discover new ones. Download the Voice America mobile app for iPhone, Android, or BlackBerry, powered by Aircast. Visit the Apple iTunes App Store, BlackBerry App World, or Android Market.
Think you've seen everything there is to see in online television? Let us surprise you. Visit VoiceAmerica.tv today for sports, health, business, and more on demand 24/7.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome back to Making Life Brighter with Winifred Adams on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel, the preferred choice for conscious education and entertainment. For more information, please visit us at MakingLifeBrighter.com. If you have questions or comments, please email us at radio@MakingLifeBrighter.com. That's radio@MakingLifeBrighter.com. And now back to the show with your host, Winifred Adams.
And we're back. You're listening to Making Life Brighter, and all of December is Music Month. We have Oz Fritz, we've had Mark Wallace, and we've had yours truly. Upcoming, we have some other great artists and people that have contributed to the music business in some way or another that are either iconic or just an expert in their field. And we have some great people coming up. And December 22nd, we have a very special treat for you. We've recorded some music, and we have a really fun, uplifting show for you on December 22nd coming up. But right now, we're still speaking with Oz, and Oz, thank you for coming today. This has been a real treat for me, and I'm sure for everybody.
And for me, too.
Yeah, it's so great to connect again. I mean, it's a bit like doing movies, I'm sure. You know, people see that more than they do music things. But when you come together for a day, 2 days, a week, 2 months, whatever it is, to create something, and then you go away again, you're like sort of a family in that moment, and then you're gone. And yet...
That's right, yeah. It's because recording is a very intimate experience, and it stays with you.
It is. You know, it makes one... You have to be very vulnerable. And you know what? I'd love for you to speak to that, because that is a huge thing for an artist. And particularly, like in my experience, when we did that recording, I'd been through a bad scenario prior to that. I was walking into the scenario kind of in shell shock, really, because could we make it? Could we do it? And what if we didn't do it? Then what?
Right.
You know, I had all this money riding on this video in Europe and all the people paid and everything's booked. And now what do I do? So,
right.
But, you know, I was around men and males for, gosh, weeks leading up to that. And then in that scenario, here I am again. I'm the only female, really, in an entire room of males all day long. And I say that only because I need to be completely vulnerable in order to pull off what I need to do. And,
right.
You know, you made that so nice for me, and I felt so safe, and that's so vital. Can you tell me a little bit about how you do that for other artists?
Sure. Many years ago, I went in with Bill Lazel to a field recording in Morocco. And in Tangier, we had dinner with a famous writer named Paul Bowles, who had also done field recordings in Morocco. And he was fairly old. And a lot of the people were getting him to tell all his famous stories. And I wanted to ask him a question. And when it finally got to be my chance to talk to him, I asked him what he did, if anything, to inspire artists. And he had a very simple answer. He said, make them comfortable. And then he told me a story about how he was recording in a very strict Muslim area of Morocco, and these women singers he was recording asked him for a shot of whiskey to help them sing. And this was, he basically risked his life to get them some whiskey so they would feel good about singing. And that really struck me, just a real basic thing, but that's what I try to do, is to make people comfortable, just, you know, make the space comfortable, just everything, so that they can relax and not have to worry about what's happening, you know, with the technology or anything else, but just relax enough into their creative mode.
Yeah, that's wonderful. You know, today it's very different than it used to be also, in that more artists than not are either health conscious or more aware of their body systems as an instrument. And there isn't as much crazy wild debauchery and parties as there used to be, but more of an emphasis on the delivery and the skill and the intention of the music, it seems, with a healthier body.
Yes. Well, that's what I tell, you know, you mentioned Bill Moriarty, and what I tell all my students, and where he got this thing about my being or whatever, it's I ask them, what is the most complex piece of equipment in the studio? And they'll look around and maybe say a few things, and I'll finally tell them it's the, you know, body. It's your brain and body of the musicians and the engineer and the producers. And so I looked at that, you know, when I was an assistant and all that, and you're looking for a rung up, you're looking for a way to impress the client that you're, you know, better than the next guy or whatever. So I owned a flotation tank in New York, and I would float every day, every morning before I would go into the studio, and just try to get, you know, my focus as clear as possible, and just have that edge of being aware of what's happening. And that paid off. I mean, people noticed it to the point where I started getting thrown into situations very quickly in my development, because they could see that I was, you know, really trying to be on top of it.
You were present, and you brought presence to this whole situation. Yeah, absolutely. So tell me a little bit about your inspirational songs for holiday. What drives you? What do you like to hear? And what's a favorite of yours?
Well, actually, a lot of people don't like Christmas music, and I do. You know, I like, if it's a really well-done version of Silent Night, just the real standard stuff. Silent Night's an incredible song if it's done with a lot of emotion. But also, I did a record a number of years ago where we were experimenting with juxtaposition of taking traditional Christmas carols and putting them against, like, rock songs or something. So, like, we did one version of, I don't know if it was Hark the Herald Angels Sing, but it was something like that, done against the music of Sympathy for the Devil.
Really?
So, yeah, we had these two opposites going on, and it was kind of fun, because all of a sudden the Sympathy for the Devil takes on the opposite meaning.
Oh, God, that's fabulous.
But another favorite song of mine, it's not a holiday song, but it really has a strong mood, and I was only turned on to it a few years ago, is Hallelujah, mm-hmm. That song that Leonard Cohen wrote. And there's a live version by Jeff Buckley Jr. That's really good.
That's fabulous. Well, you know, this has been such an incredible treat for me. Thank you for coming today and for doing this with us. And I know that people all over the world will be listening in and hearing your particular take on inspiration and how you help create sound that goes out into the world and influences people and opens hearts, and especially with your new project. I mean, Oz, you always have these cool things going on. It's so awesome.
Yeah, that's exciting that it's going all over the world. That's incredible.
It is. I mean, this is so much fun to connect again. So I can't say thank you enough. Really.
You're a good interviewer. It's easy to talk with you doing asking the questions.
Thank you. Well, I'm wishing you a great holiday season. You're going to have to tune in to hear our great songs that we're going to do on the 22nd, and we'll hopefully get you back in and talk again soon. It's been great having you. Thank you to Oz Fritz, and go jolly, everybody. Have a great week. This is Making Life Brighter, and you can hear all the archives on makinglifebrighter.com. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Making Life Brighter on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. Be sure to join us each week at 10 a.m. for information, inspiration, and education with leading experts in healing and consciousness. For more information and a complete show schedule, please visit us at makinglifebrighter.com. Making Life Brighter, successfully helping you feel better from the inside out.
You are my rock.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Health and Wellness Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericahealth.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.